Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We rejoice in your amazing grace. Thank you for your great love for us and for your great love for humans, for people all over the world that seek to know you. Lord, may your spirit open hearts and minds to hear the truth of the gospel. Lord, we thank you for Brian and Michelle Garrison that are here with us this morning. Lord, we thank you for their heart for you, their heart for missions, their desire to see the truth of your word and the gospel of Jesus Christ go forth to all the nations. Thank you for their service for many years in Peru, and now their service to over 500 missionaries all over the world through the BBFI Missions Office. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless them and use them in the service of missions throughout the world. Thank you for what we heard this morning, for this notion of one small step of obedience after another. Lord, may we all follow that model. As we trust you, you lead us in the next step. And Lord, even when we think that our path has been derailed in some way, oftentimes it's just you getting us ready for the next thing. And we thank you for how you led Brian and Michelle for 5 years out of what seemed to them to be missions, and yet you were getting them all ready for the next step, the next way that you were going to use them by your Spirit. And we thank you for that. Lord, may you bless them as they continue to serve you, and may you receive the glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is clear and concise, that we can hear and understand. Lord, as Brian preaches the word, I pray that our ears would be open, our hearts would be receptive. Lord, that your word would not return void, and that we would be encouraged and desiring to be obedient to what's instructed and be found a faithful people that love you well. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
May God bless the preaching of his word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. That was sweet. Good morning. Good morning. Can you think of a better place to be than right here, right now? Surely not. Right? We're all in the right place at the right time, right? So good to be with you this morning. If you didn't get the opportunity to meet Michelle, if you walked in late, maybe this is my lovely bride, Michelle, of almost 34 years. Wow. As Clifford Clark used to say, I spent a lot of money on that hair. Oh, man. Thank you, Grace. It's been fun so far. Thank you for your warm reception of Michelle and I. It's been good to get to know some of you. Thank you, Pastor Stephen, Dakota. Lovely time last night in their home over a meal and getting to know their kids as well. And I think we're in for some more food today, so we're excited about that as well. And thank you. I want to commend you. You may not hear this enough, but you need to hear it. I want to commend you on your missions apartment. Because honestly, we've stayed in dozens over the years, that would range somewhere between like Roach Motel and the It's Okay Inn, you know. But you guys are on another level. I want to commend you on your missions apartment. It's so comfortable. It's modern. It's very efficient for a missionary and super, super nice. And so good job. Good job. Y'all did a really good job. And I wouldn't hesitate at all recommending it to any of our missionaries in their area. And so I appreciate that. It's from my perspective as one who looks after our missionaries, it's good to know that there's a place like that for them here. And so I'm very appreciative of that for you. As we get started this morning, and I didn't check, I hope you might have some images pop up on the screen. Okay, we're good. I failed as my speaking duties to make sure that we had it all together, but good job, guys. We're there. Let me give you some very important dates in U.S. history, and let's see how some of you youngsters may not know these, but let's see how up on our history we are. September 11th, 2001. 9/11, right? I mean, most of you would know that. How about December 7th, 1941? There you go. Pearl Harbor. June 6th, 1944. D-Day. I have just simply, over the years, been fascinated with World War II history. I just completed a very large book that was recommended to me by your former pastor, my friend, Pastor Kevin, it's called The Strategists, and basically it took the five main world leaders during World War II and spelled out how they developed their strategies, mainly with what they experienced in World War I. Very fascinating read, but I've always been kind of just fascinated with World War II history. How many of you know, we say D-Day, right? But how many of you know the actual name of the operation? Operation, I think I heard it, Overlord. Operation Overlord. But did you know that that battle actually began the day before? So D-Day actually began on June 5th, 1944. You're going to see some images up here with what was called Operation Dead Stick. Now, Operation Dead Stick was led by British Major John Howard. The objective of Dead Stick was to fly in, so some British paratroopers flew in over the cover of night, and their objective was to capture two bridges. The most prominent of those two you see up there was the Pegasus Bridge in Caen, France. That's C-A-E-N. Now, the method that they used, they weren't, dropped by parachute, was they flew in using gliders. So this second image, you see a glider, which was an engine-less glider, that they were able to fly in undetected under enemy fire. Now, why was their objective so important? So the reason was Caen was a strategic hub that led south and east to Germany. If these bridges were captured, the bridges would provide an easier path for the Allied soldiers once they moved past Normandy Beach. It would provide an easier path for them to advance eastward toward Germany. If not captured, then this would allow the German forces to reinforce on Normandy Beach. So why take the bridges? Because it mattered. It mattered immensely. Now we are literally fighting a battle for souls all around the world. You're in your missions month. We're focusing on that. We as individual Christians are only one out of 8 billion. While Grace Baptist is no small church, it's only one church. So why do we get involved in this endeavor called global missions? Why do we pray for and love on our missionaries? Why do we send them to places like Guatemala, Japan, or even undisclosed nations of the world? Why do we give to the missions fund above our regular giving to the church? Why? Because it matters. Because it matters. Now today we'll try to kind of look at the bigger picture and maybe see ourselves in a glider gliding above everything and see the bigger picture and answer the question, global missions, does it really matter? Does it really matter? And I hope we'll see that we should be involved in global missions because of three very important truths. The first truth is that it matters to God. It matters to God. Would you agree with me that family is important? I hope so. Family is very important. Now, when a major life event happens to a family member, many times the whole family gets involved. If someone messes with a sister, sometimes Big Brother gets involved, right? Or at weddings and funerals, babies being born, even the holidays. On big occasions, the family tends to come together. Now, God in his nature is like a family. We call this the Holy Trinity, right? Consists of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three maintain all the elements of deity themselves, but all three perform different functions. It's like a family. There were certain events recorded in Scripture where all three members of the family came together and were present at the same time. And to me, I think that those might be important events, like creation. We see it in creation, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then John lets us in, later in his gospel, on the fact that Jesus Christ was also present there in creation. Verse 1 of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. All three of them were present at the very beginning when everything was created. How about the incarnation of Jesus? John again tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word being Jesus himself, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when you look at Gabriel's announcement to Mary, we see it clearly. The angel said to her in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 through 35, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Skip down to verse 35. After Mary said, you know, how can this be? The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." How about after Jesus fulfilled his earthly mission, about to assume his rightful position at the right throne, right hand of the throne of God, then he left us his Spirit. John chapter 14, 16 and 17, Jesus said to them, "I will pray to the Father. He will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." All three members of the family present. Now, you might be saying, I thought we were talking about missions here. Yes, yes. What difference does this make? Our oldest son used to say, "What makes the difference? What makes the difference?" Well, what's the big deal? Well, one of the most historic, in my mind, and particularly when we think about missions, events that saw all three members of the Trinity present, all three members of the family present as well, was the event that took place that led to the gospel coming to your doorstep, that led to the Western and Paul and his team turning west and eventually the westward expansion of the gospel. This event we commonly call the Macedonian call in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. We see the family showing up here. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by who? The Holy Spirit, to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, and most earlier manuscripts say the Spirit of Jesus, so we see him there, did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood with him pleading, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I contend, and I would share with you, if it's that important for all three members of the Trinity, the Holy Family, if you will, to show up, it should be important to us. And so this westward expansion of the gospel, this emphasis of the gospel going to where it's not. Does it sound like missions? Going to where it's not. It's important to God, and so it should be important to us. So it matters to God. We see that it matters to God. Secondly, it matters to the church. It matters to us here today in St. Charles, Missouri, as members of Grace Baptist Church. Why? Because it helps the church to fulfill its mission. We have a mission that is in all wrapped up in missions, if you will, but we have been given a mission to fulfill, and it matters to the church because global missions helps us to fulfill that. How many of you know what Starbucks' mission statement is? Not an endorsement. I prefer 7 Brew. You have 7 Brews around here? I'm a 7 Brew guy. But how many of you know Starbucks' mission statement? It's actually a good one. It's to inspire and nurture the human spirit. One person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. Sounds pretty good. I like it. Well, we as a church have also been given a mission statement by our Savior Jesus Christ, commonly found in Matthew chapter 28, what we would call the Great Commission. And in that, we see our role. We see our role as the church. It's to evangelize, disciple, and plant churches with new converts. It's to replicate what we see here at Grace Baptist Church in places where it's not, around the world, crossing geographic and language and cultural boundaries to do that. So Starbucks' goal is to put a cup of coffee in the hands of everyone in the world. How do they do that? How do they try to accomplish that goal? Well, they franchise, right? They franchise. They're Starbucks in Lima, Peru, where we were. They're all around the world, just like Coca-Cola is all around the world, right? Starbucks franchises all around the world. Now, we as the church should have the same goal, except ours would be to get the gospel to every soul in the world. One neighborhood, right? One friend at a time, to get the gospel to every soul in the world. So how do we do that? We franchise, right? We franchise the gospel. And what is our reach? So our role is to franchise. Where do we do that? To the world. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in where? All the world. In all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Acts 1:8 is even more specific. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And if you notice in your text, it's not the ends of the earth, but it's very specific here, and it's actually singular. It's to the end of the earth. Quite literally, Luke means, find the specific place on earth, which is the most remote part of the earth that does not currently have the gospel, and go there. Find it and go there. And franchise the gospel in the end of the earth. So we see our role, we see our reach, the world, but we also see how we can accomplish this. How do we accomplish our mission as the church that God has given to us? It's with recruitment. It's with our recruitment of more laborers. I love Paul's words in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 to 15. "For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But where do the preachers come from? Where do the gospel messengers come from? Right here. The local church. And as I commended you for your missions department, let me commend you on your gospel work. You're a sending church multiplied. Most of our sending churches only have sent one missionary to the uttermost part of the earth. But you guys are a mega sending church, and I love it. You guys get it. You get it, and you're sending missionaries. But it means that actually that starts at a much younger age, because your members are also getting it, right? You guys are getting it, and because of that, you understand the need to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. And then you have those that are willing to say yes when God taps them on the shoulder. And also, as we spoke about in the discipleship hour, some of you parents are willing to say okay, right, and release your child or your young adult into God's hand as they call him into his service. And I love it. I love being in churches that are sending churches, because you are accomplishing, you're fulfilling your role in the franchising part. You're sending and you're fulfilling your role as a church, and I'm grateful for it. So as we spoke about in the discipleship hour, we're trying to come alongside and partner with churches just like you to invite you to join us in prayer for even more, that you would be a sending church of 6 or 8 missionaries, that God would continue to call, but those who he is calling, that they would listen and answer that call and say yes, just like Jesus asked us to in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. It's his prayer request from us that we would pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, would continue to send more workers where it's so desperately needed. The work is not done. We do not currently have a church in every location where there is a lost soul. So the work is not done yet. We still need to franchise even further. So would you pray with us that God would continue to call, and those that he calls would continue to answer that call. Parents and grandparents would be willing to let them go. Churches like you would send them out. It matters to God, and it also matters to the church, because it helps us. Global evangelism, global missions helps us to fulfill our role as the church in the overall mission of God. But it also matters to the lost. And I think this is where we need to kind of hone in on and really focus on. Yes, it matters to God. It matters to us so that we can fulfill our role. But it matters to the lost. I believe you'll see a picture up here. Now, it's not super, super clear. It's in Spanish. My brother, you can read it probably. This is a decision card. Okay, it's from a not-so-young man of 48 years old named Teófilo. Teófilo. Had the privilege of meeting Teófilo in Lima, Peru, not long after we arrived as missionaries there in 2003. Now, what's special about this card, I have that piece of paper laminated and framed in my office. What's so special about this card? Well, I met Teófilo in an open-air event. We showed the Jesus film, and then we gave, and granted, we had not been there long. We had learned the language enough to order pizza and get what we ordered, right? We were learning the culture, But we were there doing the work, and then after the Jesus film was shown, we gave an opportunity for a response. And then, you know, and it's like the sea parted, the sea of people parted, and then there was this little hunched over Peruvian man just standing there waiting for me to come talk to him. And Teofilo was the first Peruvian I had the privilege of leading to Christ in his own language, in Spanish. Not sure how, you know, how it happened. That's a whole lot of Holy Spirit that went into that. But I cherish that piece of paper because he was the first. He was the first. Teofilo had been waiting for us to get there for a long time. So as we kind of tie a ribbon on all of this, let's play a game. You know that game, like Would You Rather or What If? Let's play Why Did. So why did I have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home? I think so that I would be saved at an early age, and while growing up in my particular church, I'd be exposed to missionaries that came through on a regular basis, and I'd be challenged by hearing their stories. Why did God give my home church an incredible youth pastor who would later become a missionary himself? I think that was to challenge me to consider serving God with my life instead of serving myself, something greater. Why did God direct me to Baptist Bible College, now Mission University, and then on to seminary? Well, obviously it was to meet Michelle, of course. Secondly, was that I could know how to teach and preach God's word so that the gospel could be clearly communicated. Why did God allow us to complete an internship at my home church in Arkansas? Well, it was to connect us with the BBFI, with the Baptist Bible Fellowship International, which I believe is the greatest missions organization in the world. And eventually it would point us to Peru. Why, upon arriving in Peru, did we take on the difficult task of learning a new language and learning a new culture? I think because Teofilo had been waiting on us to get there for 48 years. And Teofilo matters. Teofilo mattered to God, mattered so much that he arranged all the pieces of the puzzle of our lives to get there at the right time, at the right place, to meet him and introduce him to the greatest friend he can ever know, one who will change his life. You know, I'll go back to what we talked about in the discipleship hour. That does not make Michelle and I superheroes. We're some of the most common, simple people on earth. But yet, you know, God arranged all of the pieces of our puzzle to get not only in Peru, but also, as Pastor Patrick kind of mentioned, to get to where we are right now so that we can help missionaries on a regular basis and serve them, help them to stay where God has called them to. So I say that to say this: God can do the same for you. You see, because I firmly believe that God is actively at work behind the scenes in your own life, putting all the pieces together to put you in the right place at the right right time, because I am very sure that you have a divine appointment with your own Teofilo. And God's putting you in the right place at the right time. It's just, are you looking for it? Will you be ready? Will you be aware of it when it comes? So don't discount the simple little things in life. You know, we talked about it's, you know, finding God's perfect plan and will for your life is over here, but it takes a whole lot of little steps of obedience to get there. And that's where God is putting all the pieces together for you to lead you up to those divine moments that he has in store for you. So as we kind of close today, I just have three simple questions for you. Three questions. First of all, are you Teofilo? Have you been waiting for a long time for someone to introduce you to the best friend. You know, so just as we have been commissioned as the church to take the gospel to the lost world, Jesus himself was also commissioned by God the Father to chase you down. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He chased us down. He stepped out of heaven and ran to us as lost people. John 3:16-17, we know it well, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, if you have not received Christ as your personal Savior, what better day than today? Make today your day of salvation. Receive that free and perfect gift today, and I'm sure there's plenty of the staff that would love to have that conversation with you when we're done. Secondly, who is your Teofilo? Who is your Teofilo? Do you go to school with him? Do you work with him? Is he in your family? Or is he across the world? And are you willing and open to go in and find him? And when you find him, when God arranges that moment in time, are you willing? You know, we can't engage in a gospel conversation unless we open our mouth, right? Are you willing to say something? So who is your Teofilo? Who is God maybe arranging all the pieces of your life to get to one moment in time to where he introduces you to your Teofilo? And will we determine to walk through that door and introduce them to the Savior who has chased them down and put you in their path at that moment? Lastly, what can I do? And this question was kind of asked in the discipleship hour. What can I do to make an impact just on a regular basis as a regular church member here, Grace Baptist Church, St. Charles, Missouri? What can I do to make an impact for global missions? What are the simple ways that I can get involved? First of all, you can pray. That's an easy one. Anybody can do it, regardless of your state of health, age. We can pray for our missionaries. And I'm sure, I don't know if you already do it, I'm sure you do, you probably have access to their prayer letters. If not, your staff will, I'm sure, that will get you that access. Read their prayer letters. Stay up to date with what's going on in their ministries and pray. Pray specifically for the needs of your missionaries. We valued and cherished the prayer support of our partners on a greater level than their financial support, and your missionaries do. So they covet your prayers. Pray for them. You can also participate. You can pray, and you can participate. You do that in a couple of ways. You can give to the missions fund. You give above what you normally give to the church ministry here, the fund there. Give to the missions fund so that the church can adequately support financially those who they do support currently, but also get involved in more missionaries' ministries, be able to consider adding more missionaries to the roster, and that gives you more input, if you will, more gospel input all around the world. So you can give to the missions fund. Also, by going, by giving and going. Take a short-term mission trip. And if, by chance, God has tapped you or is tapping you on the shoulder for more, and is actively maybe speaking to your heart about crossing geographical, linguistic, or cultural boundaries in order to help fulfill the church's mission, will you say yes? Will you put your yes on the table today? You've got missionaries that were sitting in these pews and did the same over the years. And I'll tell you, they'll tell you the same thing. If God can use me, he can use you in that way. So if God is speaking to you in that area, man, like there's no greater day today to give your life to Christ if you don't know him as your Savior, but there's also no greater day than today to take that one small step of obedience and saying, yes, Lord, whatever it is, wherever it is, whatever you would use me to do, I'm available. Please use me. And so if that's you today, that's how you can actively be involved in global missions. And so let me pray for you, and then we'll continue with the rest of our service. Father, thank you so much just for this time to be together. Thank you for Grace Baptist Church. And Lord, I thank you for their testimony. They are a what I would consider a powerhouse as a sending church. They've sent more than just a missionary family. And so that's a good indication that you are, Lord, you're alive and well in the midst of this congregation. And they understand, Lord, the need to be involved in your plan of reaching the world. And so I pray today that you'd help us just to consider, Lord, who might be our Teofilo? Who do you have in mind for us to meet? And Lord, would we just kind of maybe step aside, maybe relinquish our own selfish desires of what we might want for our lives and let you lead? And as you ask, help us to say yes. Help us to surrender our own desires, our own wishes, our own plans to that which what you have for us. And Lord, as a result, we will be able to see the gospel spread to more places where it is not, and we'll see your name just as Malachi, Lord, encouraged us and challenged us to do. We will see your name be proclaimed among the nations. And Lord, that is what we're all about. And so use us greatly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Brother Brian. Church, if you could just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed, and let's just respond to what we have heard this morning. Maybe you are Teofilo, maybe you are an unbeliever and you are with us today. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that you are a sinner, and in the sight of a holy God, you are guilty. And since God is holy, he will always punish wickedness. But the good news for you this morning is that Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived a perfect life and went to the cross to take God's justice, his wrath, in your place, so that your guilt could be wiped away and you could be forgiven. And he holds out his righteousness to you today so that you could stand before God blameless because of what Jesus has done. He holds this out to you today, and he calls on you to trust in Jesus as the only Savior, as the only one who can give you eternal life. You can cry out to him. You can cry out to him now and ask him to save you and forgive you because of Christ. For the rest of us who are Christians, I think we should ask ourselves, does missions matter to us? When you look at your life, when you look at your giving, your prayer, does missions matter to you? Does sharing the gospel matter to you? Are there people that you're intentionally trying to build relationships with so that you could share the good news of Jesus Christ? In just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Men who are serving that, you may go back there and get the elements now, but church, may we be reminded that our God sent Jesus to us, and he was sacrificed in our place for us. May that motivate us then to send and to sacrifice for the global cause of missions. Take a few moments, pray to the Lord, and ask him to increase your zeal for evangelism, the gospel, and missions abroad. And in a few moments, we will begin handing out the Lord's Supper.